Do you want to thank everybody that has helped today to get this set up? We appreciate that. And grateful that Garrett's mom and dad could make it all the way here from far away. Is it Florida? Is that how you say that? It's a magical land, I know, I hear. Yes. my brother, we do have a handful of people that want to try, at least by God's grace, to encourage you tonight. Some more. and I thought I would start off by just saying, brother, it's been an interesting 10 years. Lord's kept you on your toes those last 10 years, hasn't he? Yep. And brother, it's been a delight to walk through that with you and to watch how the Lord has glorified himself through you and glorified himself through the ministry that he's given you here at La Plata Baptist. And it's difficult for me to get my head around that it's been more than a dozen years before we met you all. Before we met you, Laura and Jack. I still remember when we first heard the elders at Capitol Hill had a guy in mind for us handful of CHBCers living in Southern Maryland. Kim and I had always wanted to be part of a solid and a sweet church closer to home, closer to Waldorf. But we were not about to uproot ourselves and our spiritual well-being just to save some money on gas. We weren't going to put ourselves or our children under just any pastor. But the Lord really did make it clear to both Kim and me really early on that we would be happy to follow you if the Lord found a church for you down here. And praise the Lord, he did, and fairly quickly. And brother, what I wanted to say tonight is that the qualities and the giftings that made us happy to leave a church that we loved and move our families down here, they're the same gifts that God, by his grace, has used to build such a strong ministry here in this church over the last 10 years. So 10 years ago, brother, pretty quickly we saw right away that you are a genuine person. We have technical problems. You're a genuine person, meaning you are who you are. You know, you're one like Nathaniel. You know, Jesus said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Brother, you say what it is that you want to say. You say what it is that you're thinking, but you do it with a sweetness and a graciousness which I envy in a holy way, and which I really want to grow in emulating. 10 years ago, we saw right away that you are a humble person. You're quick to talk about your own sin struggles. You're quick to confess when you've sinned. And brother, that kind of transparency has set a wonderful example for the congregation and for me personally. I've had a front row seat to see how humbly and graciously you listen to people. You listen to opinions that sometimes you don't agree with. And sometimes you come out of that, you stick to your guns. Often you come out of that having reconsidered your initial thoughts, but you always listen. You want to suspect yourself. You want to assume the best about others. And 10 years ago, we saw right away that you were a Jesus man. And in a city that's so focused on earthly power and prestige, and in a time when so many Christian pastors and leaders seem bent on establishing themselves, I've watched you again and again and again and again call people to turn their eyes to Jesus. Your sermons are filled with Christ. Your prayers are focused on Christ. Your conversations, though they often feature a good helping of sports and Jim Gaffigan, center on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I love that God in his kindness has fixed your heart and your mind on the North Star of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I need that. And my family needs that. This church needs that. You need that. There's a lot to say, and we don't want to take up too much time. The Lord has seen this church through a lot since 2010. He has brought us through some significant and difficult trials. He's also led us through some quieter seasons of peace and growth, which are less interesting to talk about. But through it all, he's used you to handle the lion's share of the shepherding load, you know, sometimes alone, sometimes with help, but always in the lead. And it's been a privilege to serve alongside you as an elder. It's been a privilege to be a member of this church under your watch care. It's a joy to call you my friend. So I pray the Lord will give you and your sweet family many more years of fruitful ministry here in this place. Amen. Sonny Grissett.
So, when Garrett was going to be our pastor, I was not sure that he was a good pick. I was used to much older people being my pastor, okay? Not someone the age of my husband. However, as time went on, I realized how much I was learning, and it made a big impact in my life. Garrett has been more giving than any pastor I have had in my life. Giving in time, giving in leadership, giving in hospitality at his home. I've never known my own pastor or his wife so personally. I love Pastor Garrett and Laura as very close friends, and I'm so thankful that God led them to our church. I was amazed at the strength that God afforded Garrett through the challenges that he faced early on after becoming a pastor here. It has me thinking that Satan is trying to run Garrett out of here because he's so dedicated to God and the gospel being shared that he is bound to make an incredible impact here in the community. Garrett and Laura, keep allowing God to use you. Continue in your transparency. It has been extremely refreshing to get to know you and your family and see God working in your lives.
Well, Chris stole my whole speech, so. No, Pastor Garrett, when I was first asked to write something to encourage you, I was really grateful for the opportunity. You know, that's that's when it got difficult because there's so much you could say. I could sit up here all night long and have and talk, you know. I have to fit so much into such a small amount of time. You know, first and foremost, though, brother, I want to thank you for and encourage you in your preaching. You know, it's because of your preaching. That's the first time I had ever heard the gospel. It was very clearly laid out, and by God's grace, it was under your preaching that I repented and believed. And I'll always be thankful for that. And you know, not just me, but Nicole as well. We can never thank you enough for your faithfulness to proclaim the gospel, because it is what God used to pull us from the darkness into the light. And I mean, look at us today. We have a family and everything else. That would have never happened had it not been, you know, we've been a part of this church and heard the gospel. You know, and that's not where it doesn't just stop there, though. You've always been so intentional with your discipleship efforts. And I know for a lot of people, it's about everybody here. But, you know, from my experience, you know, I was sitting there writing this and looking around my room, and a lot of the books that I have sitting there are ones that you've given me. And you've spent time going over those books with me. You've helped me with writing devotions. You've been always asking me to pray and really pouring in to me individually and always helping me to improve, be a better man. And, you know, once again, I can't thank you enough for all the time that you've poured into me over the years. And honestly, I can't believe that it's been 7 years since I first started attending here with Nicole, and since you baptized us and since you married us. And, you know, brother, I always enjoy our time together, even if we're just talking about a movie, you know, Karate Kid or something like that, or either that or you're pouring into me spiritually. It really means the world to me. And, you know, what an example you are to this congregation as a whole. Week in and week out, we get to see a man whose sole focus is on glorifying Jesus and caring for his people. You know, first, it's always evident in your sermons. It's so clear that you go to great lengths to be faithful and instructive in your teaching of the Word. The way you apply yourself to the Word each week is genuinely humbling. Because like I said, each Sunday, we get to see as a congregation how much you love us and that you've spent so much time to make sure that we're fed and that you really spent time thinking about us, the congregation, specifically when you're preparing your sermons. You know your people, you know their needs. And that's another thing. You always take the time to get to know everyone here. You know about our lives. You labor in prayer for us. You admonish when it need be in love. And you're always so careful to be as gentle as possible in those situations. But at the same time, you're one of the most solid men I've ever met. There's no pushover in you. You're not a pushover by any means in any way. You have both. You can be gentle, but you can also be firm. And that's exactly what you need. And one thing that I've always admired about you too is you never play around with sin. You're always straight up and honest about it. You call it what it is and you don't play with it. And that's such a great thing for a Christian man and a leader of a congregation. You know, I can't tell you how many times Nicole and I have been talking to each other and just expressing our feeling of gratitude to the Lord that you're our pastor. We've talked about what a talented preacher you are and how fortunate we are to have you in this pulpit. We've talked about that on so many occasions. And there's been times, you know, this is really our first church, but there's been times where we've gone on vacations and gone to other churches, and we look at each other, we're like, we are really fortunate. This is what we have is rare in this world. And so thank you. And, you know, there's so many things that you could talk about, how much you care about a right ecclesiology, how much you care about everything that is intentional in our Sunday morning worship services. I mean, there's so much that you do, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. And you really do, anybody can see that you really care about everything here at La Plata Baptist and the lives of the people here. And so, you know, and real quick, lastly, I just want to thank you for being an example of what a Christian man looks like. You know, when I first started coming here, it was you and Dave were the two people that I really looked up to the most is to see what a Christian man does. And I'm so thankful for that. I've had the privilege to spend time in your home over the years, to see you be a husband and a father. And both of those things have been immensely helpful to me as well. So brother, I just want to encourage you and say thank you for all that you've done in my life and continue to do. And Nicole and I love you, and we look forward to more time with you, Lord willing. Thanks.
So I'm going to ad lib just a little bit here because Sean and Chris have kind of made me see that I need to give some background. Not everybody knows. First of all, I cry a lot. So if I cry, just ignore the tears. It's tears of joy and gratitude for how God has led me through my life. 27 years ago, almost to this month, I started going to church over in Fairfax to a Bible preaching expositional church. First church I ever went to that truly taught from God's Word, taught fellowship, taught relational church. And for 18 years, I drove to Fairfax with four kids by myself, six and under. The oldest was six when I started. And just got really used to that type of teaching and desired it pretty much more than anything else in my church life. There were a couple of times when, you know, the people from Maryland thought we were going to get a church plant down here so we didn't have to drive to Fairfax. And it just didn't happen. And we just like, why, Lord? You know, that we have people down here. We need this in Charles County. And it just never happened. So when my youngest turned 18, I decided that that was enough driving. The price of gas went up. It was just not sustainable anymore. And I went through a couple of a house church and then a small church with bivocational pastors. And you know, they loved the Lord. And the teaching was expositional. It was wonderful, but it was just really small. So 4 years ago, when that last church closed down, and I was looking for a new church family, really didn't think that there was going to be anything that would be close to what the quality of teaching that I was getting over in Fairfax. So I was looking for a new church family to join. My main requirement was expositional teaching with a heavy side of inspiring music. From the first Sunday, Garrett has faithfully preached from God's word, and it didn't take more than a couple of weeks for me to know that this was my home. God uses Garrett's teaching to comfort me, convict me, and encourage me, sometimes all in the same message. Garrett seeks me out to ask how I am and how my kids are, and I know that he prays for us as the Spirit leads. I truly feel his care as a dedicated shepherd for this flock. I love watching him after the service as he connects with as many people as he can. And when he's talking to someone, his attention is with them. I see Garrett as a man who has laid down his life for his church family and humbly comes alongside us to point us to the goodness of God and encourage us to follow him and obey his word. Thank you, Garrett, for giving your life to serve God and us, his people.
I'm not going to cry, okay? I'm just not going to do it because I'm thankful. But we are so thankful that God led you and your wonderful family to La Plata Baptist Church a decade ago with your resume in your hand. Now, the men, I guess the old men, thanks to Sonny, the old men and I, had already racked and stacked all the applicants to the pastor position, and we'd already interviewed them. We already knew who the number one and the number two, and we were going to meet again one more time to make a selection. But God had other plans for us. So, in comes Garrett. That was a great Sunday. You remember the preaching was a little iffy, but we had a guest speaker, but it was okay. We got through it. Afterwards, Garrett came up and said, "I understand you've got a vacant pastor position. I'd like to apply." And I'm going, "Well, it's already closed out. Not sure about that." He said, "Well, I brought my resume. I'd really appreciate it if you'd look at it." And I just felt compelled. That was the Spirit actually moving on me. I was compelled to take that resume. I read it, and then I was compelled to put him at the top of the stack. And the other men agreed. And the rest is history. Praise the Lord. It's just amazing. Even when I think about it 10 years ago, it's just... the Lord is so good. So now my eyes are watering up and I can't read this scripture verse, but if there's if there's one verse that I think sort of sums up your ministry here, your first decade of preaching and teaching the word here at La Plata Baptist Church, it'd be 2 Corinthians 9, 13 through 14. Are you going to get into 2 Corinthians after 1 Corinthians, or are we going somewhere else? This is good. This might take you there. Listen to God's word. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. If I could paraphrase, today we all give glory to God for your generosity to us and to all believers, because it proves that your ministry has been centered around the obedience to the good news, the gospel of Christ. And we pray for you with deep affection, brother, because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank you, Garrett and Laura, for your steadfast service and love to us here at La Plata Baptist Church for the past decade. And we pray that God will honor us with your presence here another decade at least. We love you. Thank you.
Pastor Garrett, to say thank you for being my pastor is not enough to express the gratitude I feel and the joy it gives me to have a pastor like you. Although I've had the privilege of growing up in this church particularly, it wasn't until you came into our lives that I learned what a pastor should be. When our church of about seven families was dangerously close to being closed, God answered our prayer and graciously by sending you and your family to us. You have taught me what a healthy church and a healthy church member should be, just as so much as what a pastor should be. It has always amazed me that when you introduce yourself to the congregation, you always say, "I serve as a pastor here," as one not to lord your authority over, as "I am the pastor here." And I've always just loved how you are willing to serve in that way. Your service is more than appreciated. It has changed my life. It's changed me in my spiritual habits. You've helped me to grow as a Christian woman, a parent, and friend. You've taught me how to truly study the Bible. You've taught me to read the text for what it says, what it means, and how to apply it to my life. When I was younger, this was something that was just so boring to me. But because of your teaching and expositional preaching, you've taught me to want to learn and want to know more about what the Word says and how to get closer to God through this. Now I look forward to being under your preaching. If I go to visit a different church, it doesn't seem right, because what is this guy talking about? This is fundraising. This is not telling what the text says. When hard times and family matters have hit hard, you have always pointed me to Christ. When we were left in a situation at a point where I was questioning everything about my family, you advised me to cling to the Lord and to the Word and what it says and what is true. Thank you for listening to me, for caring for me and my family, caring for us as a church, guiding us through the Word, engaging my boys in conversations, and continually praying and encouraging us. Thank you.
Garrett, it is a joy to be able to celebrate this milestone with you. I, with Chris, with all of these, praise God for the way that he has given you this humility and patience and gentleness and faithfulness. to minister to our church all these past years, and, well, to our family in particular. We Irwins have eternal reasons to be grateful for your ministry. That's irreplaceable. But with the time that I have, it's actually my privilege to talk about your wife. I first met Laura 12 years ago. She had, I think it was more than 12 years ago, actually. She had this small baby boy. She had just moved to the middle of urban D.C., only to basically give her husband away to a demanding internship and then pastoral ministry in a large, busy church. My first impression of her, she was so beautiful. And she had just this quiet graciousness. Well, since those early days in D.C., I've had more opportunities to get to know Laura. Over the years, we've attempted to have quiet play dates. What were we thinking with all those boys between us? So we've had holiday gatherings. Again, such chaos. Many family dinners. And over the past couple of years, we've had more success in having quiet, sustained conversations. Praise the Lord. So what do I say about Laura? You should know that this is a sister who battles. She fights to stand when her own physical health would lay her flat. She regularly engages with sisters in the church with gospel love, wisdom, compassion, and she never feels like she's doing enough. She lays down her life and her comfort and her ease every day in order to serve her husband and raise her boys with gentle respect. She prays, she studies the word, she cries, and she tries again the next day. Many of you have described her in these ways. You've called her gentle. You've said that her words are saturated with the word. You've said that she's insightful, that she's thoughtful, that she's careful, that she's patient, that she's hospitable. But I couldn't agree more with all of those characterizations. I know of no one who is more aware of her own sin. And I also know of no one who labors harder to hold to the gospel above anything else. Laura, my sweetest memory of you, the one I'm most grateful for, is how you were there for me when I was at my lowest. Our family was struggling. I went in my way so badly. I was having a hard time getting out of bed. You just sat with me. You didn't try to tell me, like I would have, all the ways that, you know, the way I was feeling was maybe not the right way, that I could think about that differently, or how, you know, honestly, that's pretty sinful, Kim. You didn't do that. You didn't give me practical tips on overcoming my circumstances. No, you knew that those words wouldn't have helped. What you did was to show me compassion, and you bore the burden with me. So the Connors, you know, we've all said it. They've been over, you know, been through a lot over the last 10 years. There have been many joys, but definite trials as well. I think that my original impression of Laura was more right than I could have known. She is beautiful. But it is a beauty that is of that greater sort, that of a gentle and quiet spirit that is precious in God's sight. She is gracious. But that graciousness is not merely on the surface. It's the outpouring of a heart that feels God's grace deeply and extends it to others. So, Laura, I'm so grateful for your friendship.
I told Chris I was going to be brief. So I ran up here quickly. That guy, Garrett, he's a down-to-earth guy. I said it because when I first met him, I was teaching his two little boys how to play soccer at one of these churches. Right? I forgot which one it was. And I would teach him how to play soccer. And every time after practice, we would get together and talk, conversate, him, myself, Laura, and Karen. And not knowing who he was, you know, he didn't know who I was. All he knew, I was the coach. So we talked, found out he was a Washington football team fan. And so we got communicating with about that. Then one day he asked me, he said, James, he said, what do you do? I said, what you mean? He said, what's your profession? I said, well, retired Navy. I work at Fort Belvoir. And, you know, I'm administrative assistant there. So the next day, you know, he's singing Wifey, and I'm acting crazy, and he's singing Wifey again. And I said, what do you do for a living? And he goes, I'm a pastor of Little Plate of Baptist Church. I said, whoa. You mean to tell me you're a pastor and you act this way? Not that the way he act, it's the way that he's down to earth. You know, he accept you for who you are. And I want to thank you for accepting me and my family as your friend to your congregation here. It is truly a blessing to be a part of this group of people. And I want to thank God for you and your family, Tyler, Jackson, and where he at? There you right there. You guys are amazing. And I ask God to continue to watch you. We pray for you every night, you know, because we know God has a lot of good things store ahead of you, my brother. And we want to be a part of it. And I want to thank you for being my friend first, my pastor, all right? God bless you. Love you, man.
Brother, 8.5 years ago, a little over 8.5 years ago, my wife and family, the Lord brought us to this area. And a mutual friend, who was a member of my church at the time, he's pastoring now in Virginia, but he came to me one day and says, I've got a guy, you've got to meet this guy. You and this, you'll get along great. Matt Holman, some of you know Matt Holman, he's actually been here and he's preached here. I said, sure, I'd love to meet him. And that was the beginning of a great friendship, brother. I thank God for you and I thank God for Matt for having sense enough to recognize that you and I would be good friends, that you and I had a lot in common. I'm going to say just a few words here, and I'm going to base them on a passage from 1 Peter chapter 5. Probably familiar words to many of us. Peter writes these words. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So just a few words from that passage to describe your pastor, Garrett Connor. I have a fairly wide circle of pastor friends, as I suppose many pastors do. Garrett, I don't know anybody who takes with joy and seriousness the task of exercising oversight, of recognizing that one day you will stand before the Lord God and give an account of your service for how you served as a shepherd among these people. You are truly an example to me when we have we talk on a fairly regular basis, and Garrett will have, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Or he say, how's it going in your church? Tell me. And then thinking as a pastor, thinking biblically as a pastor, brother, you've helped me, and I can't help but thank God for the testimony of the brothers and sisters that came before is an example to your oversight that you've had here, how you've cared for the people and loved them in the Lord by exercising oversight. He says that we're to exercise that oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. So we've known each other 8.5 years, and certainly in those 8.5 years, it hasn't been all roses. There have been difficulties. There have been trials that you've experienced. There have been times when you could have run away and said, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I can't anymore. But you willingly give of yourself and serve the Lord God and serve the people here at La Plata Baptist Church. And again, you're an example to me as a fellow pastor, as a fellow elder. And so thank you for that example. The last comment from the text, he says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I planned on saying more, but I just say, rewind in your mind the last 6 talks that came up here, 7 talks, of how these brothers and sisters talked about your example. They did a far better job than I could ever do about how your life has been an example to the people here as you've lived the gospel out before them. And then just one thing personal from this passage as a fellow elder. I thank God for you, brother, and that when you call me, you often say, brother, I was praying for you this morning, for you and your wife, for your children. How are they doing? And you're not just caring about, I mean, you've got a task here, brother. You've got a number of souls that you're shepherding here. But then you care enough to reach out to a fellow pastor and to say, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your wife. I'm praying for your children. And brother, you don't know how much that means to me and how grateful I am for your friendship, for you and Laura, for your precious boys. What a blessing you and your family have been to me and my family. And so I thank God for you. And I was delighted when Chris called me and told me that they were putting on this 10th anniversary for you. I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. You've been a great example to me, brother. You are a cherished friend, and I love you. Chris asked me, I'm the last speaker, so he's asked me to close this portion of the program with a word of prayer. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Father, we thank you for those whose lives stand out as an example of service. And so for that, we thank you for Garrett. We thank you for Laura. We thank you for how they give of themselves in service to your kingdom's work. Father, I thank you for the people of La Plata Baptist Church. I thank you for putting it on their heart to show their appreciation in a tangible way today, to say these 10 years of service haven't gone unnoticed, and how grateful they are, Lord, for you sending Garrett and his family here. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Garrett and Laura. Give them wisdom as they continue to serve. Help them to serve in such a way, Father, that more and more people would grow to love Jesus because of the example that they see in Garrett and Laura and their boys. And so, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.